My family's gonna be like, what did you do in London? I'm like, well, I reported a podcast in a public restroom.
Hey everyone, it's Naz here, and this is The Gender Knot, the podcast where we untangle the new masculinity and femininity. Okay, so we've got something short and sweet this week. We're going to look at masculine and feminine energy. What exactly is this? It's a concept that comes up a lot on this podcast. It's when we talk about how much femininity a person embodies, or how I'm always referring to the shifting masculinity within myself and about the balance between the two. Actually, this was especially interesting in the episode on emotions and leadership. It came up quite a lot there. I thought it would be a good idea to have an episode where we lay down the basics about masculine and feminine energy. Our guest is Jess Ribbington. She's super cool. She's the managing director of The Rules. They're a collective who address the root causes of inequality, poverty, and climate change. She's also a visiting scholar at Stanford University. Now, what's fun is that Jess is also one of the guests that you'll be hearing from next week, where we're going to explore what a more feminine economy looks like. So this episode is a good preview to Jess, as well as to next week's topic. The recording you're going to hear is from about a year and a half ago. Jess was in London and we were at this big group dinner and we wanted to go off and record a podcast to share amongst some people we know. So we did what a lot of women do when they are in a public or semi-public place and they want to have a private conversation. We went to the bathroom together. Jess and I squeezed into the same bathroom stall at this busy central London restaurant. I think the other people in the bathroom were really amused at overhearing us having an intense and intellectual but really fun conversation. We got some baffled looks when we came out. Anyway, here's Jess Ribbington on masculine and feminine energy, and we'll be hearing more from her next week too. In the meantime, you can get in touch via the Facebook page or thegenderknot@gmail.com, and please do leave a review on iTunes as well. Okay, enjoy, and I'll speak to you soon.
I was at this conference in Berlin, and there was this guy named Ben Austin who was talking about this concept of polarity, and I didn't know what it was. And he basically had all the men in the room stand up. He slowly described a scene in which they would have to be the most masculine versions of themselves, that they had to fight for something they really believed in, they had to fight to protect something. And he led them through this 3-minute, pretty intense meditation. And I was sitting there being like, this is so sexist. Women can be fighting for what they want or whatever. Like, fuck this workshop. But then at the end, all the women had their eyes closed. And then he's like, women, open your eyes. Look at the men here. Do you feel anything energetically different in the room? Suddenly these men were all enormously more attractive to us than they had been. 20 minutes ago. And he was like, that's the power of presence, that the most attractive and affirming quality in masculine energy, whether it's in a woman or a man, is the feeling of presence. And then he led the women through a meditation. He was saying that actually women are quite good at being present, feminine energy that's often embodied in women, defending and fighting for what we believe in. And then one of the most attractive and affirming and calming forces in feminine energy is vulnerability. So for masculine energy, it's presence, and for feminine energy, it's openness and vulnerability.
How did that impact you and how you felt about yourself and your abilities and your sort of interactions with other people and stuff?
I mean, after the workshop, I was still kind of pissed off because I was convinced that something sexist had happened in the workshop, but I just couldn't put my fucking finger on it. But I was going to get to the bottom of it, man. I cornered that Ben Austin guy and I was like, so, but what do you think about the fact that we need more feminine energy in the world right now? Ignorantly and naively and perhaps egotistically, I was like, this is going to trip him up, you know? He hasn't thought about the fact that feminine and masculine energy is embodied across gender and we need feminine leadership. And he had this really good answer that kind of, you know, made me pissed off because I wanted to thought of something controversial. But it was okay. I was proud of his answer. And he was like, I actually think that a preponderance of any one type of energy is really harmful for the world. And we've lived in thousands and thousands of years of an over-masculinity, and that's led to patriarchy. And he's like, I believe, though I can't imagine it, that there'd be a version of ill-conceived matriarchy as well. And we don't want that either. So yes, we need more feminine balance, more feminine energy, but we don't want that to eclipse masculinity, because that will be to the benefit of no gender. And yeah. I was like, oh, well, fuck, that makes sense.
But what is masculine energy or feminine energy? Because I feel like there are certain words that get used a lot, and there's the assumption that everyone knows what they are. And also, maybe I think that because in some ways I don't think I'm stereotypically feminine, and in other ways I think I am. So I think that's kind of maybe also why it trips me up quite a lot.
I think you look quite feminine in this bathroom stall right now with your, like, tropical jacket on, little black dress, squatting in the corner. Well, to me, I think, I mean, I usually think of it from a leadership perspective. My best version of myself as a feminine leader is openness, collaboration, interconnectivity, intuition, empathy, ability to easily cross boundaries. I see masculine energy or leadership in myself as decisiveness, as sort of a dogged determination that's maybe not taking in the big picture, but that's good sometimes, you know. Forcefulness, sourcing information not from intuition, but from a variety of different sources. I think we live in a patriarchal society that's valued those types of abilities and skills and leadership over the feminine leadership skills. So then we end up attributing those, because we hire men in positions of leadership in a patriarchal society, is only something that men live out, or we associate them with the gender of male or something, when really we all have those qualities within ourselves and we need to cultivate a balance or a polarity.
How do you feel about the energies within yourself?
I have a lot more masculinity in me than a lot of women do. Actually, I had a really interesting experience about this like 2 weeks ago, because I was raised by a lot of men. So I really valued masculinity, and when I dreamed as a kid, this is weird to admit perhaps too, I used to have dreams sometimes as a little boy, you know, it was interesting, but I wasn't having gender dysphoria or anything beyond that.
No, but this is weird, because I feel like I had a bit of a really old school teenage boy upbringing, and so I always relate to someone like Joan of Arc quite a lot, just because she was like, obviously a woman, but kind of doing something quite boyish. Or like someone like, I don't know if you know Patti Smith's work, but again, with her, I get that sense of someone who's clearly a woman, and, you know, with her younger work that she was a girl, but in a sort of quite tomboyish way. And I kind of really relate to that quite strongly. If you look at so many very sort of independent women, just because like there were certain expectations of being a girl, that like being a tomboy was a way to be like, I am independent, I am like a bit different, you know what I mean?
Basically, they're dressing themselves in patriarchy.
Yeah.
Sometimes literally and sometimes figuratively. Like, I experienced this when I was in college. I went to this foreign service university, but a lot of my female professors were sort of the epitome of, like, the women who had made it in government in the 60s and 70s and now were teaching. And they dressed like men, they behaved as men in the gendered sense of the word. And I remember explicitly them telling us during lectures, like, they would pull the girls aside kind of thing, that, like, this was the only path to leadership, was to embody masculinity externally.
What are some examples?
You should not be wearing that skirt to class. You won't be taken seriously to dress effeminate. Mm-hmm. And I was always dressing in like bright tropical colors and stuff with large earrings. And I think that myself among the other women in the class, that we grew up with more privilege in a less sexist society at the time, where we didn't have to put on patriarchy to succeed. We later discovered there was a lot of sexism in the workplace, but it was more implicit. And I think there was a rebellion against that sort of tomboyish professionally. It was like, no, I should be able to like dress feminine. I should be able to embody my femininity as an asset to leadership, not in a manipulative sense that many people talk about, but as an asset to collaboration and ability to bring people together. And I feel like for myself, I like learned at a young career age, so in my early 20s, to basically hide some of my masculinity, because it showed up differently in the workplace than it would for a man saying the same things.
I've been feeling this quite strongly the past few years, where I've been a lot more emotionally assertive. So a lot more saying no to things and people and situations. And it's taken me a lot of time to feel okay with that, because for a long time I just felt like a raging bitch, you know what I mean?
Well, that's how we're made to feel, is if you're either a bitch or, you know.
The number of situations I'd be in where later I'd talk it through, or I'd talk to, especially older women are the best, I'd talk it through with them and I'd be like, so this, that and the other happened and I said no to this, or I wasn't happy doing that. Why do I feel so guilty about it? And they're like, yeah, but that's fine. I still often feel guilty for being able to assert that?
Well, women aren't supposed to say no. It's very unusual. I feel like society teaches us, particularly in the workplace, that women are always supposed to pick up the slack. They're not supposed to be the ones setting the boundaries. They're not supposed to be the ones setting up the constraints. And God forbid they ever say no to additional work. The system doesn't really work right now if the women don't pick up the slack of the work.
Well, because it's interesting, right? It's the whole thing of, like, women tend to do really well at school. And then in the workplace, that's where they suddenly lag.
I had this super interesting experience 2 weeks ago. I was meeting with a philanthropy foundation and trying to convince them to do something. I wasn't trying to ask them for money. So I came in not pitchy and, like, probably almost more feminine than my feminine energy is. I was just like, so we could do this thing, you know, like, let's do it together. I want to hear your opinions. Let's co-create, et cetera, et cetera. Very collaborative, open sourcey. And then there was this pivotal moment in the meeting where the woman was like, okay, I've seen two Jesses. I've seen the Jess that's in this meeting, and then I've seen the Jess that was on this panel, and then when some guy said something that pissed you off, you responded, like, super decisively and super direct to him, and, like, the whole room shut up. And she was like, I want the second Jess. Tell me what we should fucking do. And I was like, wait, you want me to tell you what to do? Like, I can do that. Like, yeah. I can tell you what to do. Okay. Like, and I just, like, unleashed this part of myself I didn't know that I could, like, have in the workplace. Yeah. And I, like, rambled super fast for, like, I don't know, a couple minutes. And I was like, oh my God, I sound like a crazy person. I'm just saying all this belligerent shit. Like, but I believe what I'm saying, so maybe it matters. And then, like, people were silent afterwards. And she was like, okay, give us 10 days. We'll call you.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, fuck, that's the power of masculine energy when channeled in the right way. And we have that in us. It was like such a big learning to be like, yes, my feminine energy is so powerful for leadership, but don't lose the masculine, Jess. Don't push it down, even though I'm told it's unflattering, quote unquote, in society sometimes.